Awesome. So I want to carry on speaking a bit about prayer before we get to our launch sermon series, which starts at the beginning of February. What is it called? The Comeback. Can we just be excited about that? Who's excited about the comeback? I am. We've got an awesome black marketing board on the outside. Who's seen it? When you go out, just look left and you'll see a board there. That's our very first public advertising piece. Oh no, we had something in a paper, if I remember correctly. But this is our first board for people to see in cars, all right? Unless you read the paper while you drove in your car a few months back. But in any case, we're very excited about the comeback. If you not 100% up to date with this word host that's being thrown around, this is what it is. We are giving people that's churchgoers in this church the opportunity to be a host during the time of the sermon series, the comeback, to host people in your home, to invite friends and family, and we're going to give you a CD. You press play, and then the CD deliver the small group for you, and you deliver coffee and snacks. And so you help people to connect to Jesus by just opening your home and caring for them. So if you are new around here and you want to be a host, get to the back. There's a connect table there with a banner that says connect. Put your name on the list and come and check it out tomorrow night because we're having host training option one. Does that make sense? Great. Before we launch into the comeback, God is busy with me and with us on this thing, just this theme of prayer. Last week, I quickly spoke about persevering in prayer, and I made one or two statements that prayer is probably, first and foremost, the most important spiritual discipline there is. Because all the other things we do for God, like to witness for Him or to serve for Him in church or to speak well of Him in the presence of other people, all those things we do, we can only do if our heart is changed and impacted by prayer. Prayer is what changes you at the core of who you are, and wherever you go, there you are. All right? And so change yourself by praying. And that's why it's the very first thing we want to engage in this year. Persevering in prayer, just a quick flashback for what we had last week. You can get these sermons on the website. This is persevering in prayer. It's the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances with a hopeful fortitude that resists weariness and defeat. That's what it means to endure, to persevere, to push through difficult circumstances. It's what we spoke on last week. And there's just a summary. We said when there's something that's pressing on your heart, something that weighs you down, and you go to God, you should persevere in this way. You should petition God, which means bring this worry before God and put it before His feet. Then pray through it or read scripture until you find peace in your heart. And then you move to praise. Those things happen even before you maybe see the result of your prayer. You start praising, Lord, I put my trust in You. I decide to have joy now on this matter. And so you've moved through a place of heaviness to a place of peace. That's persevering prayer. That was last week. Everyone with me? Right tonight, how can my prayers be more powerful? So we're moving from persevering in prayer to powerful prayer. Now, actually, what I did today, and I often do it to myself, is I had a sermon and I decided, no, I want to make two out of this. So this is part one. So I sliced it because I think it's better if we get the bite into our system and digest it very well than trying to put too much information over at one evening, especially if it requires application. Is that okay with everyone? Let's take a good bite, but it's going to be a chunk of protein, right? And so I want you guys this week to take what you are hearing and birth it into your life. That's what's the purpose of tonight, okay? Father, as we spend these moments together, we know that we can do nothing in and of ourselves. There's so many circumstances above our capacity to control it that it often breaks us to a place of being so overwhelmed. And Lord, you are inviting us from that place into a place of prayer. And so we come. Teach us, Lord, how to pray powerful prayers. Help us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. How can my prayers be more powerful? Lees your Bible, bid elke dag. Okay? My sinkie leer daai liedjie. Hy het sy eie version daarvan. Daar's iets van pap daarin. Jy weet hy hou van pap. So, dit pitch op in liedjies. How can my prayers be more powerful? I want to talk about the person and the prayer. The person and the prayer. So there's two parts to the sermon, and tonight is part one. The first part is the person, and the second part is the prayer. All right. What I want you to understand is that prayer is not empowered by the specific words used. Two people can pray exact same words. I can record the prayer of someone that walks very closely to God, and I can repeat that person's prayer. It does not mean that my prayer is as real, that my heart is at the same place where that person's heart is. And so it might be two total different prayers, even though it's the same words. Are you with me? Because there is a person that is praying. And so the first part that determines powerful prayer, and please, we're not trying to rank prayer. God loves simple prayers. Prayer is so vast a topic, we can't touch on everything. We pray alone. Jesus says to the Pharisees, you must pray in your inner room, because they walk the streets praying, walking into walls. Imagine that in the mall. So thank you, Lord. Kwa! And this game, sir, derfas. Don't even have a this game. Do we have one? Oh, yeah, we have. I'll have my eyes closed and I'll go into, I'll be praying my way into a woman's, aisle or something. I'll get into trouble. This is what these guys are doing. They're praying in public. Now, it's okay, listen up, it's okay to be seen when you pray, for example, in church. But it's a different thing if you pray to be seen. Can you see it? All right? And so Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and he says, when you pray, go to your room, close the door. He's looking at them, he's speaking to his disciples at that moment, actually. Because your Father who sees in secret will know. Then he says, I will build my church. I will call people out of their homes. And together they will praise me and they will pray. So is it wrong to pray with people? No. Is it wrong to pray alone? No. You must do both. But it's about the heart. It's when I pray with people, Lord, I wish I can be invisible. I wish I can be invisible but praise you, because I want to degrade you. I want to become less and I want you to become more. Can you see the heart? I wish I can be a worship leader and lead the church from behind the curtains. The moment your heart is there, you can stand in front of the curtains. Can you see that? And so prayer is it's so vast. But the person that prays is a big factor in whether the prayer is powerful. Is the heart true? Is the heart humble? It says, for example, there's certain prayers that God won't hear. He says to children, if you will not submit to your parents, God will not hear your prayers. How's that? You can say the same words. He says, husbands, be kind to your wives that God may hear your prayers. You see, I can read the same prayer. It does not mean it's the same. Are you with me? But then on the other side, there's also there's also a place where a heart that is after God can pray more effective prayers because they understand scripture. Do you get me there? Okay. So I cannot, for example, have a great heart and say, Lord, I just pray that you'll smack that person. And I really hope a car runs them over, you know. But you need to know about God that God wants that person's heart to change and to come to repentance and love him. And so a good heart can also pray prayers. It does not make sense. Are you with me? Next week, we're doing the part of the prayer. Today, we're doing the heart. But there's only one aspect of it. This topic is way too big for me. Devotion to prayer. What does it mean to be devoted to prayer? Guys, I want you to get this. I'm just giving you two examples. You can get a lot from this, just from Jesus' life. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. A moment back, he did ministry with the people. One stage, he fed the people. He prayed in front of them, thank you, Lord, for this food. He spoke to them on the mountain. And then there was times when he went alone. When evening came, he was there alone. This is another example, Mark 1. Arising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. A desolate place for us would be a place with no Wi-Fi, okay? That would be a good desolate place. Carl, you're always in a desolate place. He never gets his WhatsApps. Sorry, I had to make a joke, Carl. Friends can do this. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Why did they seek him? They did not know. He wanted to be alone with God. And they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. Now he prayed before they found him and he said to them, let us go to the next town so that I might preach there also. But that is why I came out. God just reaffirming his mission even in those moments of prayer. But what does it mean to be devoted to prayer? If you want to become a powerful intercessor, if you want to become someone whose prayers, Jesus says that prayers can move mountains. Okay? It means it can move hearts, it can move situations. And if God wills, it can move mountains as well, or part seas, or allow people to walk on water. You have to be devoted to prayer. Now, when I was in school, and I was in high school, I had a list. This was before I knew Jesus as my Savior. I was pressing towards him, and I think he realized it. He saw my heart, and he invited me near at that time. But before I met him, I had a list of things that was important to me, and I prayed for those things every single night. I prayed for it. Can I just share something very funny with you? Is that okay? Back then, I did not know God. And I was going out with Junae. I prayed every night that I might marry her one day. Every night. It was important to me at that time. But the thing is, I was not devoted to prayer. I was devoted to these things that was important to me. I was devoted to marry this person. I was devoted to get to this position. I was devoted to go to university. I was devoted to be okay. And so I prayed. I was not devoted to God in prayer. I was devoted to all these things that was important to me. Can you see the difference? And so being devoted to prayer means to have a time and a place where you go to be with God. To be with Him. You may have a list to pray for. If that is a petition, that's where you persevere. Please, you get to that place in prayer. And next week, we're going to unpack a flow of a prayer maybe that will help us. Okay? There's nothing wrong with the list I had. I think God answered that prayer even back then. But I was not devoted to prayer like Jesus was. I did not go to be with Him. I went to ask Him about my stuff. Now, if you live next door to me, and you want to borrow something from me, it will not be a tool, because I don't have any, all right? You'll ask for something else. I don't know. You give me milk or whatever. If you come to my door and you ask for something, that's okay. We can do that. And you know what? We even may start to develop a relationship on that basis. We may become friends, right? But when you come to my home to be with me, when we sit and we start to enjoy one another, think about your friends, our relationship moves to friendship. We become devoted to one another. We start to care for one another. And so the same is true of prayer. We must come with petitions. Scripture even says, Philippians 4 verse 6, it says, do not be anxious for anything, but go to God, ask Him. It's okay to ask, but He wants us to go beyond and be with Him. And so at one stage in Acts, the disciples, they were praying and they came down and the people said, but we can see, look at their faces, it's shiny. We can see that they've been with God. They spent time with Him. This is very important in moving to a place where our prayers start to become very powerful. Where we pray out of relationship with God. I want to show you an example. I can read it from here. The disciples failed to drive out an unclean spirit. I'm going to read that passage for you. Mark 9. I just put the whole story in there. It's not a long piece, but let's read it. It's a fascinating story. It's actually really amazing. And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute." Okay? The evil spirit, that's the moon. Okay? The mute means I can't praat. Okay? And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes so rigid. And I asked your disciple to cast it out and they were not able. Isn't that just... that gets my emotions going. If I think of a little kid that's falling around the fire, I mean, this is heartbreaking stuff. And he answered them, "O faith of generation, how long am I to be with you?" This is Jesus speaking. "How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, let's not read the moon and his sin. When the spirit saw Jesus, immediately it convulsed the boy and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Okay? This is an evil spirit mocking this boy. Okay? And he's rolling around in front of Jesus. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood." And I almost want to sense the tone of Jesus' voice. How long? This is heartbreaking. How long has this been happening in your home? The father says, "From childhood. And he has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Check this lesson out. Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe, but help my unbelief." Isn't that amazing? You see the humility there? And when Jesus saw that a crowd had come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" It's a key question. And Jesus answers. And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Does that mean that they did not pray for the son at that moment? They probably did. They probably spoke to that spirit and said, you must go in the name of Jesus, telling you to go. Yet Jesus comes and he says, this kind can only be driven out by prayer. If your Bible says by prayer and fasting, it's wrong. It's added fasting. It's by prayer. All right? Christ is saying, listen up. If you want to move mountains in the day, you need to pray at night. Did you just hear what I'm saying? If you want to pray short, powerful prayers, you need to have a life of prayer. Short, powerful moments of prayer is fueled by the life that prays. Now, the disciples probably had moments of prayer, but at this case, in this stage, when someone went out to pray in the night, it was Jesus. He went to the mountain. He left them. When he prayed, they would sleep. And now, at this stage, they're not filled with a spirit yet. That happened at Pentecost when Jesus ascended to heaven. But Jesus is showing us here that his mornings of prayer, when he was alone, was the fuel that moved spirits to the sides in the day when he was ministering. What makes prayer powerful? The person that has a lifestyle, a devotion to prayer. Do you hear me tonight, everyone? This is where we are going, and I want you to move with us. And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. When we build relationship with God in this place of devoted prayer, we get to know God. You don't know what's going to happen today. You don't know who's going to meet you around the corners. You don't know who's going to be at the traffic lights. You don't know what's going to, you don't know if your boss will fire you later that day. You don't know. You don't have control over all the things that's coming against your family in the next year. You may hold your breath day by day. I don't have control over those things, and you don't. But you can start to develop a prayer life devoted to prayer, which will prepare you for everything that comes your way. Every single thing. And I'm not saying that every outcome will be the outcome you desire, but you will be prepared. Father, take this cup away from me, but not my will, your will be done. That is a sign of someone who trusts God. Amen? This is what God invites us to. And so tomorrow morning when you pray, I pray you do. I pray you look at your calendar. I pray you consider your day and make space that reflects devotion to prayer. Pray for the food, okay, when you eat. But that's not devotion to prayer. That's giving thanks to that meal. And do that because we should be thankful in all things. Amen? Make prayer that reflects devotion and figure out what that means to you. All right. I do want to challenge you just because I must and it's my job. It's not listening to a Hillsong song on the way to work. That's not a life devoted to prayer, okay? Make it costly. Make the time. Scratch it in somewhere. Delete something else from your life that doesn't need to be there so that devotion and prayer can develop. And when you do that, just want to share something with you. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus and through the Spirit. What does that mean? God, the Trinity, they each perform a different function in the head of the Trinity. It was designed like that, and each of them love, embrace, and celebrate one another for the role they may fulfill. They're always giving preference to one another. For example, the Father is the one we pray to, but the Father sent the Son to be the one who forgives our sins. So we say, thank you, Jesus, for our forgiveness. We put our thanks on Jesus, and the Father says, yes, put your thanks on Him, it's my Son. And then the Holy Spirit comes, and all He does is He lifts our eyes to Jesus. And the more we see Jesus, the Spirit goes, yes. Then comes Jesus and He says, whatever I see the Father do, I do. It's all about the Father. Can you see that relationship? It is amazing. And yet in Scripture, we see people giving thanks to each one of those. You may address a prayer to the Holy Spirit. It's okay. You may say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me today. Nothing wrong with that. You may address a prayer directly to Jesus and say, Jesus, my judge and my forgiver, I love you. Yet Jesus teaches us mostly to pray to the Father directly, because we may. He says, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. You pray directly to the Father in the name of a Son. What does it mean? It means the Son has made it possible for you to pray to the Father. So you say, Father, I come to you because your Son has forgiven my sins. And here I am. Can you see that? The cross is the door to the Father. Only those who have been forgiven by Jesus can speak directly to the Father. Someone may read a bunch of words from a paper, or they may say a prayer. The prayer can only reach the Father if the heart is washed by Jesus. Amen. Your first effective, powerful prayer in your life is your prayer of forgiveness. That's your first powerful prayer you'll ever pray. You say, Jesus, forgive my sins. That is where heaven bursts open and the line connects with you in heaven. So you pray to the Father in the name of a Son and through the Spirit. What does it mean to pray through the Spirit? It means let the Spirit guide your prayer. So you could say, Father, I'm in front of your throne today because of what Jesus has done for me. And Holy Spirit, as I speak to the Father now, guide my words. Guide my heart. Give me ideas of who to pray for. Put faces in my mind. Remind me of things I've read. Remind me of Scripture that I should pray. And so the Holy Spirit becomes the steering wheel of your prayer. And so the Trinity fills your prayer life. Does that make sense? And our last slide. Not keeping you long tonight. And so when you're in that place of prayer tomorrow morning, amen? Experience the love of the Father, the forgiveness of the judge in the name of Jesus, and the guidance of the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is involved when you pray, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so next week, I'm going to get a little bit more technical on your time in prayer and give you some ideas that will help you. But I think what is important for this week is that you start making time and you speak with Him from your heart. Even if you've prayed for everything, if you've put out in half an hour and you've prayed for a few things and you don't know what to say, just sit there. Be devoted to that time. Sit there. Last night, my wife was doing a wedding far away and my son was asleep. And I prayed in the morning and I was just like, it was actually after 12 because I waited for my wife to get into her room and just tell me she's okay. And I was fried, and so I decided I'm going to make coffee, then I'm going to sit on the stoop and speak to God. And I did that. I had coffee, and I just said, Lord, while I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, this is actually pressure on me. And if I'm honest about it, this thing is pressuring me. And I'm just making time to sit with God. And when I get up there, I'm like a new person. Make time. Schedule it. Amen? You can stand up tonight.